Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Hello and welcome back to A Diary of a Daddy-o. This is episode 3. I'm joined by Luke Evans. I met Luke probably 15, 20 years ago, I would say, playing football. We carried on playing football together for about five or six years, then sort of went our separate ways, came back together through chance at university in Liverpool, went our separate ways again, and then came back again with some work over the last probably like 2 to 3 years. So without further ado, we'll get into the episode and introduce Luke and what he's all about.
Nice one. Yeah, no, it does actually go back quite a long way, doesn't it, when you think about it? But yeah, just by chance, the whole Liverpool thing as well. And we were actually at different universities rather than the same one. And then, yeah, I'd always followed your brand, like, always. It's just been great to kind of, like, get back connected again, and kids, family, dads, business.
That's it.
Football, like, there's a lot of similarities to have a good conversation about.
I actually forgot that sort of we did cross paths at university, because I think obviously university was a massive blur, and then my memory is absolutely terrible. So then post-university, when we started talking business, I was like, hold on a second, I used to speak to Luke all the time, see him on nights out and stuff, and it was one of the memories that must have been just put in the university memory bank that was very hazy and everything else. But
yeah
cross paths many a times.
You're not the only one. I think that happened to me as well. Like, you're right, we did see each other probably at like 2 a.m. in a kebab shop or something. But they're the nights that you don't really remember, but you know it happened.
Yeah, exactly that. So I guess we'll start things off as usual. Tell us a little bit about your current situation, and that is work and family. So children, your work situation as of right now.
As of right now, I've got two... to be fair, very, very beautiful kids. One's 12 and the other is 18 months, or one, depends on how you want to present it. And work-wise, I am self-employed, so I've got my own company called Unique Productions, and that does video production, photography, animation, and then all the related media services to it. So as of right now, that is what I do, and I'm actually doing this from the studio that we've recently got. And kind of using Coventry, so it's an interesting time. Kids very far apart in terms of age, which I'm sure you'll ask me about.
yeah, that's probably where we'll jump straight in. So obviously there's an age gap in terms of the two children you have. What was your working situation like when you had your first child, or were 12 years old? Where were you in life at that point?
When I found out, so it's kind of relating back to university. So we graduated, you might have been a year long. I graduated 2010 in July. And I think it was September that I found out I was having Kaylin. At that point, I didn't have a job. I was thinking about going down to London and doing like script writing and other media types of activities, which is what I really wanted to do. I was going to London quite a lot of the time, part of the EastEnders storylining team. Okay. Which was amazing, but after finding out the news of having Kaylin, that at 21, that obviously was a complete flip of like what I expected life to be like, what type of plans I needed to move forward with. And then it was after doing bits and pieces, I think it was in March, I got a job in digital marketing, like 15 grand, the absolute minimum. I was a digital marketing executive, account executive, and then I had Kaylin 2 months later. But I actually didn't tell my employer that I was expecting a baby, because I was scared that they wouldn't give me the job. Even though that's not really a thing that a dad would normally
be
worried about. It's normally the mom potentially worried about what maternity would impact their work. But yeah, I didn't tell them, but it didn't matter because they were absolutely sound about it.
So did you get time off as soon as you get in there? So you 2 months later, you obviously let them know, look, I've just had a child. I'm going to need X amount of time off. Were they just, okay, just go for it?
Yeah, it was just the 2 weeks. It was just statutory. I didn't have a clue what financially to be able to expect from going on a paternity leave, not like I would now. So I just jumped into it. They said it's fine. I don't really know how that affected my pay that month, but at that time I was living at home as well. So, but then went into rented like 6 months later. So yeah, it was a crazy, crazy time. And we're talking in our 30s now, and obviously just having another one, everything's different in terms of like mentally where you're at compared to where I was then.
I was going to say that I guess because it was your first sort of inverted brackets, like proper job, your experience of going back to work post paternity, you would have known no different, would you? You wouldn't have known what that feeling was like of, say, having a job, going on holiday for 2 weeks and going back and having a little bit of like Monday dread versus what that dread might have been like on paternity because you hadn't experienced the two.
Well, and I think the whole experience, I don't know how much of this you actually know, is so she was my girlfriend at the time and we both went to uni in Liverpool. She had another year to do. She was on a nursing midwifery course. So she was actually still in Liverpool. So Kaylin was living with her. I'd moved back home. So paternity was spent in Liverpool, basically. And I moved back home, and then it was a kind of like weekend or end of week situation. So how I experience having a kid now in terms of how involved and being working in the same environment, the same house as baby now, it is like completely different. It was 6 months later that she moved down. And then that was where we rented together and had kind of like what you're saying. You go back home, you start to have Wednesday afternoons off. You start to have like you do all that you can around childcare and bits and pieces.
So I guess with baby number two, you would have had Unique Productions live at that point, right?
Yeah. So I did this in a talk not long ago. The kids represent my full circle. So I wanted to not give up on the media, the script writing, the production, just because I had Kaylin at 21. So I set up Unique Productions when he was 1.5, I think it was. So, but the primary reason was like, I'm not letting this go. And if I don't, then I just really didn't want to be a guy that just dropped his dreams because he had a kid young. Mm-hmm. And so that was 2013. And then 10 years later, I actually went 2022, sorry, I went full time into Unique Productions, and that was the same. So I did that 3 months before Ava was born. So that was the full circle. So I really needed to be self-employed before Ava was born, because I knew that there didn't be that like, oh, you earn that much money, you're going to need that for like all the things that you need it for stability. Mm-hmm. I thought if I actually go full time before then I won't have that cushion that I probably wouldn't be able to get rid of. So yeah, I went full time eventually in 2022, I think it was.
Wow. Yeah. It's an incredible story. And you're very good with dates as well. Like when you're saying these dates at me, it's like I'm just looking at numbers floating around my head.
Yeah,
trying to piece it all together. Yeah. I won't quiz you on it again, mate. But that's incredible. We were texting again, like with dates, I think it was a couple of days ago, and you said when we were arranging this podcast, you were like, you can't contact me today because I'm going to a spa day, and I'm not taking my phone with me, which is really good. Like we've spoken to a few people already this series and said like, what are your boundaries? What are your non-negotiables in terms of like setting the difference between work and life, and making sure that you are still Luke, you're still partner, you're still dad, and they're not just dad anymore. I thought that was really good that you texted me that and said it's good that us dads are doing these sort of things.
Yeah,
I thought it was refreshing.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's the first time I've done it, and it was kind of like a, it was for work and wellness, I think it was for. So Ava was going to be at home all day with Kasia, and I knew it was going to be a hard environment to work in. So, and the things that I really wanted to do were like things for me rather than for clients or other people. So I booked myself like a guest pass at a really nice health club, did a workout, and swim, sauna, steam room, all that stuff before 9 o'clock. Then I just sat in like the cafe bit between 9 and 2 and just did all the things that I needed to do for myself, but was just not looking at emails on my phone. Yep. And I actually did go to a meeting at 3 o'clock, which lasted 2.5 hours. But feeling before all that was like amazing. It was such a nice feeling to, I think I came away with like, because obviously what I do is creative. So you actually need that time to find the space to be creative, and that was important to do that. So first time I did it, I'm going to look to do it again, definitely try and make it regular. But things that I try, so I play less football now, like you'd, I mean, we're getting to that age where it's less, it just becomes less that you do, but doing like 5-a-side or 7-a-side once a week is always really good. And it's probably going to get into golf, to be fair. That'll be one thing that I'll use as my, still Luke, still with mates.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm not like, I actually really, really love watching Kaelin go play football. That may not be like a Luke thing to do, but I love that. And if that's how I spend my weekend, that's amazing.
Yeah.
There's little targets as well. Like being full time when I was, it was, I will have 2 days off a month, to do kind of like your dad related stuff, whether that's hospital appointments, doctor's appointments, or just an afternoon at the park or soft play. And so far I've managed to stick pretty closely to that. So difference, I guess, with you, you've had business for a long time before kids. I've been very careful about trying to make my lifestyle fit my work from the beginning. So then I'm not like, it's not a big drastic change to try and change it back. And Kaelin, even at 12 years old, he's actually editing for us now.
Wow.
So he's great. Yeah, it's all entwined. It's less Luke, work, family. It's like, it's all a big, it's all together.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds good. I mean, the work-life balance is a hard one to sort of manage and deal with, especially if you are sort of reverse engineering or adding something in at a later date, which it was a little bit for me. So like when Brody came, I was in the process of leaving the business and joining another one. So like my whole life completely changed from like 0 to 100 in the space of about 3 months. So I didn't really have that opportunity there to sort of, how does Brody build into my current situation? Cause I had no idea what my situation was going to be like. And I was going to say, I see on your Instagram all the time that you're watching football late at night on Instagram and on the weekends and stuff. And I'm looking forward to, if Brody decides that's a path of a hobby he wants to go down, to doing that as well. Because I think I'd thoroughly enjoy that. I'm massively into football myself. Played it, watch it all the time. That would be something that I would do that I know would make me happy.
Yeah.
Give me energy to then go and attack the week at work and 100%. Do all those other tasks that need doing, rather than being like, oh, I don't know, you just sit down and watch Love Island or something. That's your escapism, I guess, to just sort of try and wind down. But that stuff that you need to do for yourself that gives you the energy and the sort of that dopamine hit of excitement, for me, it's either going to the gym, which is not as regular as it should be post-baby, or just being in and around Man City discussions. It makes me excited. I love doing it, and it fills me with energy. And I'm like, but maybe partly because Jess isn't that bothered by it, so I speak to other people that like Man City. If I was just talking about Man City to Jess, I don't think I'd get anywhere near as excited. But
no, it's got a back, hasn't it?
Yeah, that energy comes back. That, again, it's like I've just mentioned the other podcast that I feature on. I finally got a group of people that are as interested about Man City as I am, and have been for like 34 years, but I had no one to talk to about it.
Yeah.
But now I've got a group of like 10 people that they say you're some of your network, or like your net worth is all about the people you're in and around. And like,
yeah,
that fills me with so much energy when I'm talking to people about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that 2 years ago, but I do have it now. And that's something that it's my sort of non-negotiable that I get on that podcast once every couple of weeks.
I think this podcast that you're doing as well is a community that's well worth keeping hold of as well, because I really like talking to business owners and dads, because it's a very, especially dads nowadays, generation is a generational dad, and we're in a certain generation where it's never a comparison, but there's always a viewpoint of a dad needs to do X, Y, Z, and the mom does X, Y, Z, and they're quite different. But mm-hmm. nowadays, they're so much more like entwined. Like the mom might go back to full-time work after a certain amount of time, and that's completely fine. The dad can do like shared maternity leave and things like that, or whichever one's the business owner as well. It's just got like that pressure on it. So mm-hmm. to be fair, it's not just dad speaking to, but it's learning and feeling kind of the same pressures as these people. Because while working in a co-working space, you see the amount of exodus there is. That's a bit dramatic, but the amount of people that leave at 3 o'clock. And
yeah, yeah.
I know all those people are generally business owners or freelancers. So we've all got the same schedule in a way. And then you have to pick it back up again at 8 o'clock at night. And to other people, that just looks really unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But it's not unhealthy. It's just you start to mold your life around what like matters. So I don't have a problem with working late, because I've maybe taken 3 or 4 hours out of the day that you're still working and I'm doing something with the kids or helping in the house.
100%. I remember when Jess and I moved in together like 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and like I used to work all the time for 3 or 4, like into the night, in that sort of like entrepreneurial hustle mode. And I was like, she was like, you need to try and get this into some sort of like structure or some boundaries of like, when you come home, you've hammered it for a certain amount of time, and then that is our time together. And like, one of the biggest changes I made in 3 or 4 was doing that. It's been like, once I leave 3 or 4 office at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock, whenever it was, I stopped working, and then my life was me and Jess. And then since having Brody, I started working in the evenings again. And at first I was like, oh, what am I doing now? I'm working too much. Yeah. But then like you said, you can take a period of time off in the morning that you're doing breakfast and taking to a nursery or whatever like that. And then lunchtime, take them down the park, which I was doing a few months ago. I'd go for like an hour and a half walk at lunchtime. I wasn't doing that when I worked at 3 or 4 and finished at 5 o'clock. It's like picking your laptop back up at 8 o'clock at night and doing your admin for the next day. That's fine. But like you said, other people will see that as like, oh no, you're neglecting your kids working at home. But actually that's completely opposite, really. You're giving them the quality time when they need it, and then working when they're asleep, essentially.
Yeah, I actually get quite protective about, like, this is a talking point. It came up at an event that I was at recently, and unfortunately the guy talking was like maybe 50s or 60s, potentially, really, really successful. And the way that he was kind of like, but the question I think was, what do you look for in other entrepreneurs? And it was like a 24/7 mentality, and like, which we all do. But then I actually think of there's another mom on the panel, and you could see that she was disagreeing with that because of some of the context and topics that were coming up before. But because I've got kids, I get very protective about, I do think about it 24/7, but then I get guilty that I'm thinking about something work related when I'm with them. Mm-hmm. So then I ask the question, is like, how can you be present if you're saying 24/7, but then you're saying to also be present with your kids? Like, it's quite conflicting. It doesn't make sense to me. So he didn't really have an answer, but I think it's a point that all parents and business owners appreciate, because our brains are always on, but we're good parents as well. There's no on or off button. It's really, really hard to jump in and out of being present or not. But to be fair, when I am with the kids, I'm probably like 90% present, but every now and then an idea might go, and you're like, I need to write that down on my phone or something related to it. So I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, no, I'm fully with you. I think it's impossible just to 100%. You can put the sort of physical elements of being 100% present in place by putting your phone in the drawer or turn the TV off or anything like that. But you can't stop your head going, I've forgotten to buy this from Asda. That's still not being 100% present, just because you're thinking of something that's work related. You can't stop your subconsciousness thinking of something. So like, I do it all the time. Like my, like you said earlier in the episode, you said about creative people need a space to sort of think and be creative. I tend to think of most of my creative ideas either when I'm in the car driving, or two, when I'm out walking Brody in the pram, I'm just talking to him, and there's nothing else really going on. I feel like my head empties because I'm just with Brody walking down, looking outside, looking at the trees or whatever, and then I'll get a really good idea, and I'm like, I'm writing it down. I'd never feel guilty of being like, I've got my phone out while walking him in the pram, so I'm writing an idea down. I'll just voice noting it to myself because, like you said before, like you, your life is intertwined with theirs, that you are spending that quality time with them where other parents don't have that privilege. I think it said on the last podcast, it's like it is a privilege of being able to go and be present with your child at 12 till 2 or 2 till 3. Whereas if you had a 9-to-5 job in an old school office environment, you might not see your kid all day. Like I said it to Jess the other day, that Brody at the moment is going to sleep at 5:30 at night. He's sleeping from 5:30 till 7 in the morning, which is incredible. Like, we're absolutely buzzing. We went through a bit of like pain with sleep, and he's really sleeping well now. And I was like, well, if I finish work at 4:00, it takes me an hour and a half to get home, and I've missed him in the morning, or only seen him for half an hour or an hour of giving him his breakfast, and I did that 5 days a week, I'd only see him 5 hours across a 5-day period in the morning. Like, I couldn't live like that at all. So I just couldn't do it.
Isn't it?
It's a non-negotiable that I couldn't be in a working situation or an environment that was my life, because Brody is now top of the list above everything else, that I would fit everything else around being able to be around him as much as possible. Like, I would be with him 24/7 if I could. I can't, because obviously you do have to work and go away and stuff, but that would be my priority, and I couldn't live like that. I just couldn't.
It's really tough actually when you break it down with those numbers, because there's still people out there that do that, and to be fair, 5:30 sounds like quite an early time, but it doesn't really matter if you finish at 5:30 or 6 and you don't get home till between 6 and 7. That's generally a bedtime of a kid anyway, all that exactly. That whole period, and it's quite scary. And then weekends, then you're saying time to be like you, some guys or people would like go to the football or like do other activities and stuff like that, and then you're just really cutting down that time. And I think when you kind of first had Brody and we were talking and stuff, I think one of the things that I might have mentioned as my biggest difficulty with the business and being a dad is the guilt. That guilt is I can't, like, it'll never be fixed, because if I'm working and it's like a daytime that Ava's at home or there's something going on with Kaylin and I did a school run, I feel guilty that I'm not with them, the kids, and I'm working, especially if I'm in the same environment. And then on the flip side, if I go spend 2 hours, 2 till 4 on a day where things might be quite busy and I'm with them, I'd feel guilty that I'm not working if there's like certain things going on, and that guilt just follows me all the time. And it lessens a lot. And to be fair, it was a lot worse at the start. Well, like either when they're first born or when you're first going full time, but that's something that no one will really prepare you for.
I remember those conversations. I think it's partly, I'm not a lazy person in the slightest, and like my gym routine has been terrible since having Brody. And I think that's one of the reasons, is like a 30-minute drive to the gym, an hour session, then a 30-minute drive back, or however long your gym journey might be. I'm like, it's 2 hours that I'm not spending with Brody. And I'm like, I'm currently like in a mindset of like, I prioritize time with him over anything. I know gym is important, it's health benefits and everything like that, but like, I'm not going anywhere near as much as I should be or would want to be going, because I would rather prioritize that time playing with Brody. Because anyone ever says to you is like, they grow up so fast, and there'll be a period of time when they hit an age where they want to do everything without you. So like, I consciously make the effort being like, he's only 13 months old, and never be that age again. I want to spend as much time as possible with him, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And the gym thing as well, because same as like football, I remember looking, cause at 21, no other mates were in that same situation. remembering how many people would still be playing football and working out and looking good. And I remember just like, I never got like big, but like, especially with the second one, you start to like put weight on because you're not working out, because it's not physically possible. You could have like 3-4 hours sleep one night and you had it in your head the day before to go work out the next day. I've not got the energy to do that. And then typically your kid's like full of beans the next day after 3-4 hours sleep. So you're struggling to do it. But funnily enough, I've actually got a gym in the garage now, and I haven't had a gym membership since COVID. And it means that I actually, because I tend to do like a half an hour, like a slightly, like an intense workout for half an hour, basically, or run. But the base is always at home still. So it actually minimizes the amount of time that I'm away. It's not solely for that reason, but it's definitely a benefit.
I think we will leave it there for part one, and we'll come back in part two and carry on chatting to Luke about everything dad and work related. So stay tuned. Okay, so welcome back to part two of A Diary of Daddy-O with Luke Evans. We'll kick things back off in the second half, talking about, you mentioned it a little bit in the first half, saying you had like your group of friends when you had your first child were not in the same situation as you. Did you have a stronger support network for baby two in terms of like friends that were going through it, had been through it, or just, yeah, I guess just that really, like people that were close by you going through the same situation versus the first baby?
That is a good question. I don't think I had a different or stronger. Unfortunately, my two best mates, the same best mates I have now to what I'd had 20 years ago. So they knew everything of what I was going through at the first birth. The only difference is they didn't have a kid. So our friendship never, like, because it can happen. Friendships deteriorate when one friend has a kid or has a family that they just have different responsibilities for, but that never happened. I remember one time I went on a bike ride with a group of mates, and I borrowed one of those ones that you put on the back of the bike, and I put Kaylin in it. And they did like 15 kilometers or something like that. And I thought, yeah, I'll do it as well. And poor Kaylin was in the back we didn't do that. Me and him didn't end up doing the whole of it, but we must have done about 10 kilometers on that bike. But the lads are taking turns doing the riding with the, I don't know what you'd call it, like the little backy. Little sidecar.
Yeah.
So there was little things like that were always really nice. But the actual understanding of what it's like now, like my two best mates have both got two kids. Other friends around us have got kind of one or two. My sister's just had her second. So it's a lot more like we're in the same boat, and you can share kind of like clothing and bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. As you know, that's so useful when you're having a baby. But at that time of us having a first, is you got to buy everything. We didn't really have any financial support. We didn't have any one else in the same situation. That being said, though, Kaylin's friends at like childcare and nursery and things like that, we became friends with their parents, and you kind of find a little bit of a new network that way.
So what age was Kaylin when he went into nursery, and how did you find that process? Because we're literally just about to embark on nursery.
So yeah.
Any advice would be great.
We got really lucky in the fact that he had to go when he was one, pretty much on one, maybe a little bit before, but we had a childminder, and she was an angel. She was absolutely amazing. So in their house, there was two childminders, a mom and a daughter, and technically they're allowed three kids per adult for the whole day. And Kaylin had to go 5 days a week because of work. And things like that. And because it was such a small focus group, Kaylin got so much out of it. And it was in a home, so it was like it's still a homely environment. He like absolutely flew there in terms of like his learning, his social skills. So he's a really bright lad. He's at grammar school now, but a lot of that I will have to owe to the childminder and their setting. And then Ava's now at a nursery local to us, but in the exact same kind of like way. That's perfect. I think when we were getting to that point, I said to Cash, I was like, we need to see if these childminders are still around and available. They weren't, they're fully booked. and I was gutted, but then also like, it's fine. It's a different time. It's a different scenario. But everyone's got slightly different things to recommend or what they like, but she only goes 2 days a week. Whereas Caelan was there for 5 days a week. If he was at a nursery, like some of the big branded ones for 5 days a week, I'd be quite uncomfortable with that, I think.
Yeah. I think, yeah, we were due to put Brody in about 2 or 3 months ago, and then we pushed it back because like Jess is self-employed as well, and it's quite a time of the year, and we're like, it doesn't really make financial sense to pay for a nursery when she's working less out the house when Brody spend more time with us. But Brody's due to go in 2 days a week, and then we're sort of sat on the fence a little bit with, obviously we have both have parents that are divorced, so grandparents want to help. And then if Brody was in nursery 2 days a week, some weeks we were like, well, if a couple of grandparents want to come down and help with Brody, and then he's in nursery for 2 days a week, when would our time be with Brody? Again, from maybe a selfish parent perspective, but it's like, is 2 days too much? Is it not enough? Especially when you have the opportunity of help from grandparents.
Mm.
And we're sort of on the fence of it a little bit at the moment with what to do. But he's due to start in about 2 months' time.
There's definitely no right answer for that. And we do the same. So Ava's in 2 days. One of the days, my mom. The other day, Cash's parents. I say my mom because dad's at the he's still working. And then Kasia's parents, and then Kasia has a day with her on the Wednesday. So she had the same kind of like guilt, I suppose, mum guilt of like, oh, but the like my time is less.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the kid as well gives you signals that they need other things. So it's a bit weird, but they need you, but they also need other kids' interaction that much more now as well, or other adults around them. So I think you can feed off of that, how well they are. But I definitely think a nursery environment is necessary. Well, it's not necessary. It's suitable for like the age at which our kids are at to kind of start, exploring different things. Not the same four walls and
the same
kind of people around you.
I've seen it, like when I occasionally get a chance to take him to like a messy play or like a them sort of like classes, and I see him interact with other little kids, and it makes your heart melt a little bit seeing them like interact with someone else that isn't family, if you know what I mean. So like in some ways I'm really excited for it. But then I do have that little bit of nervousness about it as well. But I guess next question would be, obviously you were doing unique productions from the get-go with Ava. What was your partner's working life like at the beginning and then now as well? To sort of like obviously support how you're being your daddy yourself.
Yeah. Before, so when she got, when we got pregnant, she was working at an okay job. She was doing pretty well, but she never really had the drive and ambition to be one of those like career steppers. So we kind of knew, we both knew that that was the case. And I think because, like I say, Caelan being 5 days a week and his mom doing midwifery, that's shift work, that's a lot of work. And then that meant that I was doing a lot. So it definitely shaped me in terms of how involved I am as a dad. So then when me and Kasia were coming up to it, it was a case of she really wanted to be like really involved, hands-on, didn't really want to go back full-time if it was possible. And then obviously that then falls on me, how well I do. But what we kind of had said always is that she would eventually work within Unique Productions, work within the business. We said this years and years ago. And when her maternity leave was due to end and finish, it was like, okay, I think we're gonna try this. And it was just a period of time where we were just working off of minimal finance and stuff like that. But she started as 1 day, then 2 days, and now 2.5. And that will eventually go up to 3, but I don't think we'll do more than 3. So she worked in a very operational and event type role as a manager. She'd worked quite high up in retail before as well. But then I knew those skills were actually what I needed in Unique Productions. I needed someone operational to manage processes and also plan certain shoots. If I'm out filming them, then there needs to be someone that's actually planning them properly. And that's worked out really well. So she now works within the business.
When you said the whole like work-life balance all intertwined, you were 100% right there by the sounds of it. how do you stop? Actually, Craig from GSN that was on the podcast, first one of the series, his wife was very similar. So she came back into the working life for working for his business. Because I think he said they found themselves talking about work when he got home. And he was like, yeah, if we're going to talk about work, you may as well come to work where I want to talk about work and then get paid for it, rather than talking about GSN. I guess for you, it'd be talking about Unique Productions and different shoots and stuff. How do you stop talking about that at nighttime with your partner? Or do you not? And you just go, well, actually, no, because we spent together at lunchtime, we went out to the Sea Life Centre. I'm allowing the situation to be that we do talk about work at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I think I often mention it, like literally before we're about to go to bed, and she'll just say, really? And but for me, that's when the brain's like racing and thinking. Other times, if like it is late at night or at dinner, we will just have that conversation. But there's not really an on or off situation for it. But I've definitely seen how much more she's like, because obviously she never worked in production before, how much she's kind of like learned and soaked up. So now that she'll have a conversation with me or open it up, where I'm like, oh God, yeah, there's a lot of things that you're suggesting here that make a lot of sense now that before she worked for the business, she wouldn't have done. So I do like that. And we had, so another example for kind of like how blended it all becomes. So her parents are on holiday for 3 weeks this month. My parents are on holiday for a week. So we're in a bit of a childcare like situation. Where how do we work that out? If it was a normal working situation for either of us, we'd be scrambling and stressing. But it was a case of January's one of our quietest months of the year. Take those days to like just have Ava yourself. Like, because obviously you can manage the holidays and we'll work the days around it. And we just moved a few things around. And even I took a half day as well to be fair, on a very busy, like busy as in it's not like a busy revenue month, but it's busy trying to set it up for the next few ones. So we had a conversation. It's like, is it really a good idea, Luke, for you to take a half day or a whole day? I was like, maybe not, but I'm going to do it. Let's do it. It'll be fine. And then like you work a bit in the evening, and I did do it, and it was really nice. But yeah, we have that luxury where we can, it's all entwined, and it works out for us at the moment. And a lot of people will say, I'm not sure if the GSN guy said it as well, don't work with your wife, don't work with your husband. Like when I told people that was happening, they were like, oh, you're in for it. But it's not like that for us. We don't like purposely say, oh, this is how it's going to be. I think it's just the type of people that we are that kind of makes it a bit easier. So she'll be at work and she'll message me something about the shopping list for tonight. Like it's just, it's the same, and it's all the same thing. And that's how I like it.
I mean, if you can make it work, there probably isn't a better scenario out there to work with your partner and your family. Like I've never done it with Jess really. She helped out a little bit through like COVID, when obviously her business had to completely stop. John and Molly, who obviously John, you know, John's my best pal, and he worked at 304, and Molly, they worked together at 304 for 5 years every day.
Wow.
So like, I remember saying sometimes, like, because they would obviously take holidays together, so they'd be off at the same time, they would work together, and then they would be at home together. I was like, you never have any time that's not you guys. Like, how is that? And like, it just worked for them. They loved it. They always seemed to be really happy and stuff. So if you can make it work, why not, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. And keep some money in the house as well at the end of the day, which is always a bonus.
Absolutely. I asked on the last couple of pods, might be a bit of a broad question, but what if you can think of one hack or one tip that you were given as a dad that you would like to pass on to someone else? If you're struggling, I can give you a few examples that people have said previously. Doesn't matter how big or small.
Yeah, I think what happened with having Kaylin, it being such an unexpected surprise, my control went. I didn't have any at that point. So I think a whole mindset thing changed where, because I think when you become a parent, you are worried about the control because you've got another little human, but they start dictating to you what they need and want. And I think I'd let go of that before it even become a reality. So it's I don't know the method to do it, but it's just kind of like rolling with the punches. I don't, it annoys Kasia a lot that I don't really forward think in terms of like outfits or what we're going to do tomorrow. I don't do that very often. That's all her and it needs to be done. But it's, on some occasions it works in my favor because I'll just react and respond to it at that point. And as a baby, they don't really, they don't know, they don't care. So if they're wearing something that's not matching or if they've had a leak and you're changing them in the back of a car, taking them into the McDonald's toilets or whatever public toilets, it's like, it's all fine. It's it's just kind of like learning it. And I remember, going on a day sesh with the lads and I had to bring Kaylin as a baby for the first part of it. And I did. And I had to get the milk warmed up in the pub. I brought food that was like mashed up spaghetti bolognese, was feeding him like one or two drinks in. And then his mom after work picked him up. It's like, I obviously clearly just went and did what I thought like a dad lad would do.
And yeah.
It kind of like, it just works itself out. In terms of a specific hack, you'll have to give me some more ideas because I'm trying to think. And
I think rolling with the punches and being sort of like open to just going with the flow is a good one. Like I think as soon as you find out you're having a baby, you're instantly told birthing plans, sort out a nursery, school, everything seems to be quite like you need to know what you're doing all the time. But
yeah,
I think we found if you are too structured or too planned with everything, oh my God, it's 2 hours now, he needs the milk instantly, you start putting unneeded pressure on yourself that like you're setting expectations of such a strict routine when a baby just doesn't have a clue what time of day it is, whether they're hungry, tired or anything, that you're setting yourself up to fail, aren't you? The stress can become too much to handle. So like I think in terms of going with the flow is it's probably hard to understand until you're in it. Because if someone says go with the flow, it's like, well, yeah, I do anyway, but no.
Yeah.
You'll understand when you need to go with the flow sort of thing.
Yeah,
A couple of people said like zippers instead of poppers on baby grows. A poo bin rather than constantly getting these little bags out. Just little things like that like I don't think any of them, I mean, a zipper poppers is a good one because the amount of poppers on the baby grows is absolutely ridiculous. Blackout blinds is an absolute must from experience.
Sleep sacks, they're really good as well.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything that you wish you'd known for baby two? No. Is there anything you wish you knew back then that you know now that like you were just oblivious to, completely like blindsided by in terms of like what a baby does to your life?
There'd be quite a lot. I think going back to the hack, Vinted is definitely a big one because you can pick up baby grows for like a quid, 2 quid if you're on it, and
there's
no point buying everything new. Again, I don't do anything of that. That's all cash. So,
that's what you've been told.
But that's a big hack. What I wish I knew. I guess how lonely it could be for you guys as a couple. That's a little bit turn of an emotional direction, but it, especially for moms, it, you can have so many friends with babies, but then they're so busy with babies. So then you're kind of like trying to help each other. You don't really know what you're doing. So it does just feel quite lonely because you don't have the right answer. And like I know women will do like the 3 a.m. message to another mom because they're both up on the night feed or whatever. That's not pre-warned. Kind of like how that type of thing can feel. I'm not even going to say any of the cliche ones, like in terms of how quick things go, because I've got a 12-year-old, which is just stupid. He's a teenager next year. That's literally ridiculous, but we are, he might not say it, but we have a best friend relationship. You, if you see on Instagram and things like that, you say like 3/4 of my week socially is down to him, it feels like. So he's got football, we go to the Blues games together. If he's obviously on the school run, he's starting to go out of his mates quite a bit more. So we go, like, I'm maybe telling him, come on, let's go for a run or let's go work out. It becomes like a real, it's a relationship that we don't just have as a father and son. It's like a proper friendship. And some people say, you're not a friendship type of relationship, but it makes my life happier if I am. And I think the final thing would be, it's just slipped back out of my mind. As a dad, it would be more for the dads. Do the school runs, do the boring stuff, the stuff that, like, by default we would normally neglect. Me doing that has just, like, such a good base for the relationship that you will have in the future. Those car journeys are so underrated. The amount of times I've had to take Caitlin to, like, places that are half an hour plus, and we're listening to music and he's talking absolute waffle, or we've made up games about how many red lights versus green lights we see on the way there, what cars are going to win. They're such precious, precious memories that he will still call upon now when he was 5. And even now, it's weird because you're not looking at each other. It's not like an eye-to-eye contact that makes a kid feel awkward about saying something. Those journeys and those school runs, they're the best things about being a parent are the things that aren't actually the best things. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I guess it's good for you that you've got all those sort of memories to pull on for when Ava grows up and is at those sort of ages again. You can go, well, I'm not forgetting to do what I did before because I know how important they are to me and how they made me feel. And then obviously the same for your son as well. So you'd be quite fortunate in that sense that you've got all those really fond memories that you've already got in the bank for baby one to go and do again with baby two while knowing exactly what's going on. It's great. Yeah.
I think as well, I don't know if you find this, you'll have songs and films now that you just cry at. What it's to do with, like, a father and son, or father and child relationship. It's like, no, can't. That kills me.
Mate, I said it. I said it at work yesterday. So I bang the drum for this TV program to anyone that will listen. This Is Us.
Oh, no. It's the work. We had to stop watching it because it was too emotional.
Yeah. So, like, I think I became, well, me and Jess became addicted to watching it because I think it was because it actually helped in some ways, like, just let our emotions come out. Because every single episode, we'd both be crying. And, like, I think it makes you think to your relationship with your parents and, like, grandparents. And then we hadn't had Brody at the time when we watched it, but we obviously knew we wanted a child. So you're, like, you're then looking at it from the parents' perspective to the babies, and it was making some emotions go around every episode. And, like, it's back on Netflix now, and we're like, should we watch it again? And I'm like, I don't know if I've got it. It gets sadder, mate.
Yeah, I really want to finish it, but I need to watch it as a pair. It's doing that by yourself is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, you sort of know where it's going as well, don't you? Like the storyline and, like, it ends,
it's
in
brilliant,
a
very, though. It's so good,
superbly made and everything. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. To be honest with you, obviously I've not gone through that process of, like, doing those sort of school runs or anything yet, but it's something I will 100% be doing and keeping sure that they're in my schedule. Because I remember with my dad, I was obviously downstairs now, but we used to go watch Man City, well, since I was tiny. When we moved to the Midlands, I had a season ticket in Manchester, so if me and my dad weren't playing football, we were driving to Manchester to go and watch football, or we were just having those, like, situations where we were in the car to go and watch football and talking about it and being excited about it, or he's coming to watch me play football. Obviously, that's where we met. That I remember those. I'm sure my dad remembers them fondly as well. And that process of being in the car, I think you see it a lot, people being interviewed, don't you, that you either go for a walk or you sit in a car because you're not looking at each other and it can be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
Job interviews are the same. If you're sat one-on-one speaking to someone, you can find yourself in your own head. Whereas when you're walking, you feel a lot more open to speak. And that's definitely something that is good for kids because you want them to feel as though they can express themselves, I guess.
100%. Yeah, exactly all of that. Yeah, that feels like a little bit of a cheat code if you realise that. It's one thing doing it, it's another thing actually realising that you've got adding to them and to you.
Superb cheat code. I'm going to make a note of that one as well for everyone else. So the last podcast, in true like Stephen Bartlett style, he asked a question down to you. So his question was quite broad. It was, are you a walker or a talker?
What, with the baby?
He just said, are you a walker or a talker? And I mean, it feeds on sort of from what we were just talking about there. So
I guess I don't know. Yeah, I guess both. I do walk regularly, and I've done a podcast with you. I've done some other podcast stuff before. I'm not too shy in sharing my vulnerabilities, so I definitely can talk as well. If I was to choose one, probably a talker. Yeah, probably a talker. So that means, go on.
I'd probably be a walker. I'm trying to get better at talking and like actually opening up about things. And obviously that's why I was really keen to do the Daddy-O podcast, is that something like you said at the beginning, there's a community of people that I'm part of and have been part of from the work side for so long, and now the dad for a year, that I want to use the passion and the fact that I'm in the community to try and build it and bring people together. And I'd love eventually to hold Daddy-O meetups where dads, whether they're struggling with being a working dad or whether they just want to meet other people that they know, they're a business owner or they're self-employed. Yeah. Or even just dads that just work. Do you know what I mean? There's plenty of stresses from being a non-business owner or a non-freelancer and working, like we said earlier, like working 9 to 5 or in an office that you're not allowed to leave. Just to be able to come and chat about things.
That's a great idea. Something that we'd love to host here, to be fair, as well, because that would be a great community to find and be a part of.
For sure. Well, I guess on that positive note, if you've got one question for the next guest, put you on the spot.
Okay, if you were asked before you had a kid how many kids you want, now that you've had a kid, has that number changed?
That's a good question. A very good question. Did it change for you?
I think so, because you flippantly say like a number before. It's like, yeah, go on, 3. And then you have 1, you're like, this is hard. Then you have 2, you're like, whoa. Like, anything more than this, and I'm done.
yeah. I think Jess and I have always said we'd like two kids. And I think when Brody was having a bit of a bad spell in terms of sleep, we're like, I don't know how you bring more chaos into chaos. Yeah. That was the sort of thing that was going through our head. It was like, when life is this crazy in terms of just sleep deprivation, you must be mental to bring more of that in. So, but now like, now life's more stable and like sleep is a lot better. It's like, okay, actually, you feel a bit more sort of like steady on the feet and like.
A work-life balance, hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.